reviews have been cracking, haven't they? But not only that, more so, the listeners that have been to it, that listen to Radio Nova, have just, oh my God, they've loved you in this role.
Yeah, it's humbling, Marty, to be honest with you. I mean, first of all, it's cheat code. I'm from Drimna, Dublin 12. I am an actor and I do have a musical background. So if I couldn't get this right, you know, as the wonderful people in at Vicar Street and at Aiken Promotion said to me, all the boys from Big D on the door, to all the security, right up to Peter Aiken, if I couldn't get this right, well, you know, God help us. So, like, to be honest with you, it's a John script of God sent. So, yeah, it is something different, and people seem to be acting pretty well.
Now, look, have you checked your ancestry there? Are you sure there's not a bit of Phil there?
Well, okay, without wanting to go there, you know, I think all of us Dubliners, we probably think that there's a bit of Philip in us all.
Yeah.
And it's funny you should say that, Marty, because, like, he is quintessentially, he was the quintessential Dubliner. And I think that's why he's, you know, in my research and my journey so far, what I found is that people genuinely miss him.
Yeah.
And no matter where you go, if you're dragged up to sing a song, whatnot, you know, you find that just people just miss him as a person. You know, he was a lovely fella. He was approachable. I'd like to think there's a lot of that in me as well. So with regards to being a Dublin 12 Dubliner, I think there's a bit of him in me, definitely.
What is it like, though, to walk those same streets and think about walking through the same doorways he would have walked through back in the day? You know, even as a young fella messing around, you know, just hanging out in street corners, literally, as the song would go, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big shadow to walk around in. I mean, this is a fella that really put Dublin rock music on the map. You know, there was a lot of bands trying to make it at the time and, you know, coming from the skiffle period. So to walk around the same streets, yeah, it's a weight on your shoulders. But it's also an honour, you know what I mean? To speak to this, a lot of the same people who were in the room with Philip are still alive today. So that's been, you know, even meeting Eric Bell, for example, and working with him, he's just emotional every day. And obviously last week we'd Bruce Shields in, we'd Gavin Friday, we'd people who were young but in the room who were, you know, kind of looking up to Philip at the same time. And they all seem to react in the same way, you know, Bruce.
And get it, yeah. I'm sorry, Brush, what did he say?
He was just really emotional. You know, he posted something on his Facebook yesterday and talked about the show and the performance. He gave a raving review. But you can see in his eyes that it kind of brought him back to a place where he felt like he was in the room again. I mean, Eric came into the room first and he left the room. He said his instinct was to leave because obviously him and Philip are like brothers, you know, and brothers fight. So then when he came in, there was 20 people, other press people as well in the room. And he just came over to me shoulder. He never left me. And that's what it's been like for the whole run. He just kind of attaches himself to him. Yeah, that's, I'm even getting emotional kind of thinking about it now. That's what I take away from it, that, you know, you've kind of connected people to a friend that they've lost, you know. And you know, Philip died far too young.
Oh, stop. But the fact that here we are, you know, and we're going to be 40 years celebrating his anniversary next year, like, you're clearly seeing then that not only is he missed, but it's still quite new, even though it's been 40 years. Do you know what I mean? It's a loss that hasn't, you know, healed over time.
Yeah, and you're dead right, Marty, because I think it's a lack of acceptance, what I've seen. I mean, Philip went into hospital for a week and never came out.
Yeah.
And that's when I met a couple of people in a different play. I met Finbar Fury last week, and Finbar kind of put me aside. What I find is fellas that knew him are pulling you aside as if they just want another 10 minutes to tell him to catch up. Yeah.
Jesus, that is a big shadow and big shoes. Yeah.
And, you know, fellas that were at the Vibes down the years, I met a fella who wrote a poem at the 25th Vibe, and again, he put me aside. Another fella who's him and his girlfriend, his best friend and his girlfriend, their mutual friend, which was her boyfriend, was killed in a motorbike accident. And they, again, they pulled you aside because they were Lizzie freaks. And, you know, what you mean to them. I find myself getting very emotional, to be honest with you.
But as Peter Smith, do you kind of go, Jesus, you know, come on now, I'm playing a role. Like, do you know what I mean?
100%. I mean, I'm just an actor playing a rock star. I'm not a rock star. I wish I was. I just happen to be from the same part of the world. And I remember reading about Val Kilmer taking a year to shake off Jim Morrison. I understand why. You have to live. If you're going to play this part, and some of the most of the reviewers I've picked up on America, that I don't just play it. It seems to be have become part of what the way I am, the way I walk, etc. And I think that will take a while to shake off because I'm from here. You know, so the next time I shake it off is I'm scheduled to do a couple of more films at the end of the year. I probably have to shave my head and become that action guy. That's fine. But you know, we'll be doing. It looks like we'll be doing this play. We're doing Moonlight for quite a while because we've got offers from all over the world. The Lloyd Webbers are interested. You know, London, New York, all of Europe, anywhere where there's an Irish presence, and certainly where Lizzie were popular and Philip was popular.
Yeah.
It will probably go there, to be honest.
I think that's fantastic. Are you excited at the prospect of living with this for another wee while? And if you do have movies where you're shaving the head and stuff, can you hold on to the hair at all? Like, is there a bald cap you can put on if you need to do something else?
The magic of Hollywood, they will always sort that out. I mean, I shot an action film about 6 months ago, obviously with the hair was growing. And what they combed it a certain way that made it look like it was kind of like it was weaved into my head. So there's no problem at all.
Wow,
I mean,
incredible.
It's a small price to play.
Yeah. Can you give me then, for those of us who might be new to this whole idea, give me a rundown in 30 seconds of what this show is as far as you're concerned.
Absolutely. First of all, it's musical theatre. You know, some people think thought it was a musical before they come. Some people thought it was pure theatre, but it's both. And what it is, it's an honour piece based in an alternate reality, if you will, where Philip has passed on and he's confronted in this netherworld of somewhere between heaven and hell by characters such as Brendan Meehan, played by the amazing Portico Lynchick, and, you know, Oscar Wilde, played by Riley Clark. And it's a review of his life's work as an artist. It doesn't touch any of the salacious, you know, gossipy stuff. Any of the habit stuff. It doesn't touch that. It talks about his journey through his life and how his art was a great comfort to any issues that he would have had as an individual or a human being. And what it does is the piece proposes Philip to have a place among the pantheon of the great Irish poets, like, you know, Keats, Yeats, well, Anglo-Irish poets, Yeats, Joyce, Behan himself, Wilde, and obviously, the conclusion is, of course, he was a consummate, a prolific writer, a prolific poet, prolific songwriter. So therefore, he has earned his place among that great pantheon. So that's the premise of the whole thing, to be honest with you, Marty. It's an honor piece in its entirety. And it's a celebration of his impact on the music world as well, both as an individual and as an artist.
How then does Eric Bell swing into it?
Eric comes in and introduces, obviously, his perception of Philip and how they met, and obviously the wonderful positioning of his creation and reinvention alongside Philip of Whiskey in the Jar in particular, and that early journey that he took with him, you know, from the Thin Lizzy album, the first one, through to Shades of a Blue Orphanage, Vagabonds of the Western World, you know, the great hungry musical period of any great band when they're trying to show the world what they can do. Eric obviously was on board for all of those albums, so it gives him, you know, he's kind of narrates a little bit of the start and introduces the concept of what we're doing. It's wonderful to have Eric on board.
So you've got three more nights now coming to Vicar Street again, which is June 20th, 21st and 22nd. And then you're taking it on a little road trip to Limerick, to UCH there. And then you hope that maybe, you know, the world is your oyster. Who knows where it could go next? Do people from London come to see it in the likes of Vicar Street or Limerick and then make a decision or offer you something? Or is it how does it work?
Yeah, the big noises have been in already. And John is sifting his way through offers from London, from New York.
So there are offers?
Yeah, there's lots of conversation going on with him, which is exciting, obviously, for us as a cast. So, yeah, it looks to me like we'll be busy for a few years yet. Jeez. But my thing, Marty, I love Dublin and what the Aikens have done, what Peter Aiken has done for us, and what those boys down at Vicar Street have done for us, I'll never forget. If you told me I had to play Vicar Street for the rest of my life every night, I'd do it.
Wow. That's high praise indeed for the lads. Yeah, that's magnificent. Really magnificent.
It's unreal. Everyone involved at the show, everyone involved, Julie up there in the production office, Bren Berry, who's an artist himself.
Oh,
great new album. You know, some great songs on there. You know, they're artists themselves. You know, Peter understands artists.
Yeah.
The boys, I mean, Big D carried Christy Dignam on his back, you know, gig to gig. These people understand what you need as an artist.
Yeah.
I would say to anyone, you know, go to Aikens, work with the Aikens. If you really want to enjoy your career,
go and
work with them up at Vicar Street and go wherever Peter sends you, go.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Tell me this, do you play bass?
I do, I've been learning. I've always.
Is Bruce Shields teaching you, no?
You know, he might do. He's probably going to kick me out of the show for us and then teach me, you know? If art imitates life in any way. No, I'm thinking there's a guy called Mick McDonald who's been giving me tips. A lovely fella, just an ordinary bass player, who put again a Lizzie fanatic. Mm. So it'll probably take me another few months, but by the time the June shows roll around, Mark, I'd expect to have a bass.
Great. Now I have one more question about the band. Has Brian Downey made any noise at all?
I know the boys have been speaking, you know, to Brian's people. You know, Brian, you must remember, was Philip's best friend.
Mm.
So this is all very raw for him. And as he's still a touring musician as well, it's about finding, I guess, the time and making sure it's the right thing for Brian. I completely understand. We're from the same part of the world. But to have Brian, I mean, listen, we've got Larry Hogan, arguably the best music producer in Ireland, on board. And we've got a great band. We've got a great drummer in Eddie Gaynor. But to have Brian Downey come in and say hello to us and maybe jump up and do a couple of tunes a la Eric Bell would be a dream come true. And who knows what would happen off it.